Good evening. As we gather this time to celebrate a life that was well lived, a man who's well loved, Mr. David Anderson, a man whom I did not know as well as I should have, but a man who did open his home, Miss Nancy, to our family. Thank you for that. And as I think about life, I think about life and that it's like this, that it's not lived one moment longer or one moment shorter than our Heavenly Father has planned for us to. David was a man who was not only loved by his family and friends, but loved by God. A man who loved the Lord by his testimony. A man who just brightened up lives. Without a doubt. And I have things, my part will be small and short. I bring our greatest sympathy from Northside Baptist Church, the church family of Miss Mary and her three daughters, and our church just says we're so sorry for what you guys are facing, but you're not alone. You're not alone because we are praying, we have been praying, and we will continue to pray that God strengthen, God help, and God fill the emptiness that you may face in the days to come. But I've been asked to read a passage or portion of things written by David's sister-in-law, a lady who loved him, cared for him. And she begins this, and I thought quite appropriate, because the first words I heard Nancy speak was, "Oh, Dave." And Miss Mary says, "My dear, sweet Dave." She says, "Thank you for loving Nancy, my girls, and my entire family. You may not have known it, but you were a father to my girls. You showed them unconditional love and support. You always were there for us in the good times as well as in the bad times. Whenever I called for help at my house, you always came running. You took great care of us. You laughed at me and Nancy when we tried to catch snowflakes on our tongue. And you also laughed at me when we said, 'Man, it's cold,' and it was only 31 degrees. Because, you know, she says that, nothing like minus 20 where you were from there in Michigan and Montana. But Nancy says, but in my book, anything below freezing's cold, too cold. And how can you get more frozen, she said, than frozen? You know, that's just how it is, it's frozen. She says, I especially thank you for loving Nancy. Said, you taught Nancy that not all men are bad. I have never seen her more happy than she has been during the time that you two were together. I will not say goodbye because I know that I will see you again one day in heaven. She says, right now, I have lots more work for the Lord that I must complete. She says, by the way, one of my students told me that her mom, who had breast cancer, told her that in heaven there are unlimited chocolate, sugar-free, fat-free, calorie-free chocolate ice cream sundaes. And there are several, and she says, they are served continually at the feet of Jesus. And she said, I bet that he has Rolos too. So I looked for your stash at your house, and I still have not found them. But I will keep on looking. I know where I will find you in heaven. Until then, enjoy worshiping at the feet of Jesus. As you eat chocolate ice cream sundaes, sprinkled on top with Rolo candies. Miss Mary Myers." And Miss Mary also shared this with us the other day about the student's mother. Said Mary got the call one day, and she said, "Mom, is eating ice cream sundaes. She said she knew she'd gone to be with the Lord. But you see, it's the attitude of the heart, and it's knowing where that loved one has gone that makes these times so much more bearable. And if we know that one day we shall be together again, it's never goodbye. It's just, I'll see you a little bit later. So you got to understand something. In heaven, there's no time. So you know, one day Dave's just going to turn around and, Nancy, there you'll be. And he'll say, hey, he won't realize that you guys have been apart. We'll be the ones who will miss him, and that time will sometimes seem so long. But our Heavenly Father will comfort and strengthen and meet every need in your life. You trust Him. You cling to those family members who are gathered around you. I promise they'll always be there. Your pastor will be there. And if you ever need a second one, I'll always be there too. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are so eternally grateful for your love and your mercy. We thank you that there is never a time that anything comes into our life, God, that you're not well aware of. And no matter what we face, you have promised us that your grace will be sufficient. That no matter what we face, you will always be there. There will never be a moment in time that you're not beside us, seeing us through these dark valleys. Even as the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And Father, we thank you that you are with this family today. And we thank you for what you do. Thank you for your love and your mercy. And most of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his gift of eternal life through his death on the cross. We ask all this in his name. Amen. Now we have a song that was Dave's favorite song, and the family thought it only fitting that it be played and it shared with you, because it tells you about his relationship with his Heavenly Father. So you listen.
Yeah. Jessica, go ahead and come up. You have a eulogy from your mother, and just come right over here.
Okay, so my mother wrote something that she wanted to read, but I'm going to read it on her behalf. Once in a lifetime, and only if you're one of the lucky ones, you meet a man like my Dave. If you were very lucky, you would call him your friend. If you were very, very lucky, you would call him your son or brother or stepfather, your son-in-law, your brother-in-law, or your uncle. If you were Gabriel, you would point and smile and call him Dad. I was the luckiest of all. I got to call him my husband. My Dave was a kind, gentle, smart, and loving man. He was a man of few words. Whatever he did it with all of his heart. He worked that way. He loved us all that way, and he lived that way. I was so proud of him. Dave was my best friend. He was absolutely the love of my life. He made my bad days good and my good days even better. He was my rock. Dave came into my life just as unexpectedly as he left me. But in that short time, he gave me the best years of my life. Forever would have never been long enough with him. He was just that good. And I was blessed to have met him at all. I'm sure that in this moment, he would want me to thank all of you for loving him and wrapping your arms and your prayers around me, around his family, and around his friends that he called family. So how do you say goodbye to a man like my Dave? You don't. He will live in our hearts and in our minds, gently reminding us that he's looking down on us, gently reminding us that we are not promised tomorrow. Life will never quite be the same for those of us that loved him, but because of him, he's left us with something better in some small way. There is a new angel in heaven. His name is David Roy Anderson. Weep not because it is past. Rejoice that it ever happened at all.
David Roy Anderson, age 55, of Lawrence County, passed away Sunday, August the 6th, 2015. He was born in Crookstone, Minnesota, and was the son of Virgil Clarence Anderson and Patricia Ann Shute Anderson. Mr. Anderson was employed as a supervisor at VC Summer Nuclear Plant. He was a graduate of the University of Kansas, where he played ball, and continued his baseball career as a Major League Baseball player with the St. Louis Cardinals. Down in the front, we have his ball glove and the ball that was his first Major League hit. While he was a Cardinal, to listen to Nancy, he played on the Angels. In addition to his parents, he's survived by his wife, Nancy Copeland Anderson of the home, his stepson, James Edwin Sifford, and his stepdaughter, Jessica Marie Nuff, her husband Chris, and their son Gabriel. Dave was looking forward to welcoming Taylor into his family soon. He has three sisters, Laura, Nancy, and Karen. This obituary, however, does not reveal the character of Dave. He had a strong work ethic. He believed in taking the high road. He took pride in whatever he did, and he believed in doing it right. Dave was quiet and steady. Dave loved the mountains, and he loved helping people, but he expected nothing in return. He was part of Harvest Springs congregation in Montana, and after moving here, he and Nancy watched their services every week. His testimony really was the way he lived and the song which has just been sung. According to Nancy, 1 Corinthians 13 personified Dave, and it's no accident that this was read at their wedding, and we're reading it again in his honor. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. See, there's a verse that says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already gone. We gathered around the piano the night of your wedding, and we played a little bit. You've gone through a few more toils and snares and dangers since then. But His grace that has brought you safe thus far will lead you and will lead all the rest of us home. And so Jesus says in John chapter 14, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. You may be where I am. It's natural. And it's very human for our hearts to be troubled. That word means that we are agitated, that we're stirred, that we're shaken. We're angry. Why did God allow this? And conventional wisdom often says we're not to question God. But God has given us a mind, and we cannot help but ask questions. That is part of being in His image and likeness. I remember being with you Sunday night, and you were asking those rhetorical questions, those questions that really there's no adequate answer. Why did this have to happen? Does God know the future? Yes, the Scripture is clear that God knows the future. Does God have the power to stop random acts of violence? Certainly. Certainly God has all power. Then the obvious question, then why didn't He stop that act? Let me just talk to you. Let me give you an analogy. Your parents are good people. But if you saw your mother doing something that you thought was out of character, if you saw Sarah out, let's just say you saw her going in a beer joint, you wouldn't immediately declare that she was a hypocrite and cut her off and refuse to ever talk to her again. You would say, I don't understand that, but I still believe in her.
one action from her that you did not understand would not negate a lifetime of consistency. And so that is with God, our Heavenly Father. He is ultimately trustworthy and consistent. And when things happen that we don't understand, we don't turn on Him. We try to understand. Part of being in His image and likeness is that He has given us this awesome power of choice. And for there to be true choice, there has to be more than one option. Nancy, if you laid out two shirts for Dave on the bed, one was red and one was blue, and Dave says, "Which one should I wear?" You say, "Wear either one you want." And every time he picks up the red shirt, if you said to him, "I wish you wouldn't wear that shirt," you see, ultimately, he really wouldn't have a choice, would he? To have only one option is to have no real choice. And sometimes we wish that God would stop bad people from doing evil things. But consider what kind of a world it would be if God only allowed one option. Essentially, we would have no choice. Essentially, we would be asking God to create a coin with only one side. See, there's two sides to a coin. And for there to be something good, there must be an alternative. Now, we're wrestling to understand something. It's hard to understand, but let me try to put it in these words. So Dave came here about 4 years ago. He was part of a construction crew that built our new Walmart. And one evening after work, he walked into a local restaurant and spoke to you. You engaged him in conversation and really never expected to see him again. But you invited him over to your house for a party, and to your surprise, he came. And he chose to keep in touch with you. And he chose to deepen that relationship. He stayed in touch with you. And ultimately, he made a choice to move here and leave a business from Montana because he loved you. 3 years ago, you were married in this church. And every day since, he got up at about 4:30 to drive to work. He was not programmed to do that. See, that was a choice. He made a choice to pursue you. He made a choice to marry you. And he made a choice to maintain that relationship. What if I told you that Dave had no choice in the matter? What if I told you that all of that was foreordained? You see, the beauty of your love is that it was a choice. It was voluntary. He could have chose someone else, but he chose you. You know, I could hold a gun to your head and command you to say that you loved him. But that's not love. Love has to be a voluntary choice. And so my point is that if God always intervened and stopped bad people from doing evil things, then the good things that we did would really be meaningless. God cannot stop people from hating without also stopping them from loving. You see, there is evil in the world. People do make wrong choices. That's why love is so significant. It's when people make right choices. And God loved us so much that He chose to send His own Son to die for us. He didn't have to do that. God loved us, but He does not force us to respond back to Him in some kind of a programmed manner. That would be meaningless. Therefore, as ministers, we ask people, we urge people, we preach to people that they should choose to respond to God's love and follow Him. But everyone does not make that choice. There is the alternative. Nancy, sometimes people become angry and bitter at God when something like this happens. But I want to assure you that what happened was not God's will. That's not the way God is. This senseless act was not predestined by God. The perpetrator had undoubtedly made many wrong decisions, which culminated in this violent act. And he will have to face justice for those actions. You see, if he had no control, if he was predetermined, if he was pre-programmed to do this, it wouldn't be his fault. But just as a criminal is responsible for his actions, Dave was also acting responsibly when he proposed to you and when he chose daily to reaffirm that commitment. And Nancy, God loves you more than Dave did. And what I think God wants me to say to you is, your life is not over. Your life has been enriched. And now you have to make a daily choice. It's not an easy choice, but you have to choose to serve God by loving others and not by hating in return. Isn't it interesting, and it's no accident, that the oldest literature in the world is the famous story of Job. And Job didn't understand either, did he? He didn't understand at all what was going on in his life, but he made a choice to trust God even when he didn't understand God. Nancy, cry all you want. Ask all the questions you want. But don't let go of his hand. You've come too far to turn your back on the one who loves you most. I know some people think church is irrelevant. I know some people don't understand what this is all about. But Nancy, back in this congregation, there's a couple who lost a wonderful son at age 28. They've told me that story, and they could have become bitter and they could have withdrawn from society, but they continue to serve God and to serve this church and our leaders in our community. Nancy, on these grounds, there's another couple who lost their son in high school. They could have denounced God because they didn't understand what was happening at that moment, but instead, they serve other people. And today, when anyone in Lawrence County has a fire, when their home is burned out, they're some of the first people there to help them get back on their feet. Nancy, there's another tragedy in our congregation, and you know about that situation. You know about this boy who grew up and was playing professional football. Ironically, it was the St. Louis Cardinals, although it was the football team. He died prematurely, but all of these people made a choice to keep loving, to keep trusting, to keep on going on with life, and to keep doing the right thing. I'm sure they live daily with questions that they cannot completely answer. But they trust a God that they cannot fully understand. That's what I'm asking you to do. And that's what we all must do every week. You know, you grew up in this church. Every week we recite the Apostles' Creed, and it can become just rote. I know. I know we can say it and not really realize what we're saying. But that's the faith of the Christian community for 2,000 years. You grew up saying it. And I think the most important words are the first two, I believe. Nancy, in the face of doubt and depression, and even in the moments of despair, when you can't hardly even get your mind around what has happened, in the darkness, just whisper, I believe. That's enough. If you can just keep that, if you can just say that, that'll keep you sane. And that'll keep you on the right track. But you remember how the creed ends. It ends with these glorious words, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life eternal. Nancy, you'll never recite those words again without being able to personalize those words. That means that because Jesus lives, we will also live. It means that the best is yet to happen. The devil will tell you it's all over for you. The devil will tell you nothing good will ever happen to you again. But we believe in everlasting life. We believe in the resurrection. And you know what that means? It means that not only will you live eternally with Jesus, but it also means you got more than 3 years with Dave. See, Jesus is saying, don't be agitated, don't be disoriented, don't lose your way. Keep trusting, keep believing. God is preparing a place for every one of us. He's already come for Dave. You keep the faith. And if you do, you'll not only spend eternity with God, but you've got a lot of time left to enjoy Dave. Taylor has an announcement that she wants to come up and make, and there may be some others that come up with her. Go ahead and do that now. You stand with me. I want to pronounce the committal, and then I want you to join me, if you will, as we pray together the prayer that our Lord gave us to pray. For as much as the spirit of our deceased brother has returned unto God who gave it, we therefore commit his body back to God, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But we're looking for the resurrection in the last day, and the life of the world to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. At his second coming in glorious majesty, he will come to judge the world. The earth and the sea will give up the dead, and the corruptible bodies of those who sleep in him shall be changed and made like unto his own glorious body, according to the mighty working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.